Going through this, if you haven't been here for a little while, or if today is your first Sunday, we've been going through a sermon series, and so today is the second to last of that. The new sermon series we're going to go through is we're going to look through the book of Judges, okay? But as we're finishing this one, so today, I want to talk to you about being part of a church body. It's interesting how we did that on a day that we're trying to invite a bunch of folks to come to church, right? Well, God designed that in such a way, and I guess I designed that a little bit too, if I'm totally transparent with you, so that I could tell you about what I think the Word says about being part of a body of believers and how very, very important it actually is to our health and our growth as Christians. Because God didn't make you for isolation. Things are very, very hard when you're by yourself. He made you for purposeful involvement in a local church. He made you to be a part of a group of people, not only for your own spiritual growth, but for others. See, I need you here because I have things I lack that only you can help with. And the same is true for you, with myself, or with the other folks that are here with us today. And so the title of today's message, if you ever want to give it to anybody else, or if you want to listen to it again, or send it to somebody or something, is Built to Belong, the Unstoppable Power of Purposeful Involvement. That's what I'm going to challenge you with today. I don't know if you've ever tried to put together anything from IKEA. Has anybody ever done that? So I am not a huge fan of putting things together from IKEA, but I do put things together from time to time, and so I'm going to tell you about what I've put together because I can't really relate to IKEA, although I've heard horror stories about it, and that's why I tend to avoid it. But just like any other man here today, I try to put things together without using the... Correct. You've nailed it. You've got it. And so I bought recently this tripod stand for deer hunting, okay? So it's a tripod stand that then my little deer hunting tent goes on top of that. And I was trying to put that together without looking at the instructions, and I only had to take it apart 3 times. It was great. I way excelled more than I thought I was going to do, but it was very intimidating too, right? So I had all these parts and all these pieces. I tried to lay them out on the floor. I did this in my garage the first half, and the second half I had to take it out where it was set up because, you know, it's hard to get that thing out there when it's all like that. So I had all the bolts set up. I had all the pieces and the parts kind of lined up according to what they were, and I did what seemed right according to the picture on the box, right? I mean, isn't that one way? And so I looked at the picture on the box. I looked at what I had together, and then it was when I tried to put the ladder on it that I realized that I had put it together backwards and I had to take the things apart to put that back on there. But I won't bore you with the rest of the ways that I screwed it up, but the end of the story is I finally got it together. But the fact of the matter is I did that by myself, and it was much harder than it would have been had somebody else helped me. And I did it by myself because, quite frankly, I thought I could do it on my own. I thought to myself, how hard can this be? I really don't need anybody else to help me with this project. And so I was left alone putting this together. I was left alone when I brought it out to the field, and I had to carry it by myself out there, and I set it up by myself out there, and I think I was only sore for a couple weeks after that, right? Doesn't that seem about accurate? There are no broken limbs, but it was much more difficult than it had to be. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're new or you're visiting, I want to tell you that you're not meant to do things alone. You don't have to. I don't want that for you. We don't want that for you. You see, your relationship with Jesus is a personal relationship, but it's also a relationship that you get to, not have to, but you get to share with others. See, we're a family here at Allegan Bible Church, and that's how most churches see themselves, and that's a good thing. Because when we're alone, we're left to our own devices. We're left unprotected. If you've ever watched the Nature Channel, which one is it that the lion attacks, right? Does it attack the one that's in the middle of the rest of the zebra pack as they're all running together? No, it attacks the one that it can get out by itself, the one that has no other defense, the one that has no protection from the rest of the group. And so I just want to ask you to consider this morning that whether that's Allegan Bible Church or whether that's another good Bible teaching church, I want you to consider becoming a part of that. And I don't mean add yourself to our membership role. That's not what I mean. What I mean by that is this is an invitation for you to plug in, to be a part of something greater than yourselves, but also for yourself. so that you can grow and you can be maximized in the relationship that Jesus wants with you individually, and so that you can help others to be maximized for the relationship that God wants for them. So this is not simply an invitation just to be a part of Allegan Bible Church. This is to be a part of a church family. And I hope that you'll choose that today. I'm going to give you reasons why you should. So that's what we're going to look at as we look at different parts of God's Word. I will have scripture up on the screen, so if you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can follow along with that. If you're a note taker and you would like to bring notes home, we probably have some out in the back, so, oh, they're all gone. Well, if somebody wants to try to make a copy of them, maybe they can choose to do that. So if you have a copy that you can give up for somebody to make some copies of you, raise your hand and we'll grab that from you. But anyway, they're also online, so after today's message, if you want to download those yourself, you can get on the website. There's a note section there, you can get that. But I would like to pray, and then we'll jump into what I believe God has for us today. Will you join me in that? God, our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the ability to come together before you. God, I would ask that you would help us to understand your word, not man's opinion. I pray that you would convict us of our need for one another, and it would be more than just conviction of that, God, that we would put that into action. I pray that you would show each and every one of us the value that we have to offer to one another and how vital it is to be a part of a body of believers for not only our good, but for the good of others. So help us, God, we pray, for each of us, that we would plug in to a local body of believers, whether that's here at Allegan Bible Church or not, and that you would be glorified in that, that we would be strengthened through that, that the church would be built up, and that your gospel would go forward. I thank you, Lord, that you have told us that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not stand. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So a good place to start is usually at the beginning, right? So we're going to do that. And I want to talk about the very first Christians and how they treat church, how they designed church, how they viewed church. And you can see that they did not view it as just a mere hobby or as just a pastime. They saw it as true devotion. They saw it as true investment. They saw it as a part of their lifestyle. And so the first thing that I want you to see as we look at that is that we witness powerfully together. You know, one person standing in a street corner and saying something out loud is easy to ignore. But if you have a group of 10, 15, 20, 30, hundreds who are saying the same thing, it makes it much less likely to be ignored. And so that is the power of numbers. That's the power of witness. That's the power of togetherness and cohesion. That's the power of unity. And so in the first section here in Acts, I'm going to read along, and then the folks that are upstairs there, I hope they can click along with us so you can follow. It says in Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." It says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." You see, the first church wasn't casual. The first church did more than just meeting on the Sabbath day. I don't know how often you invite other church folks who you know, other Christian brothers and sisters, over to your home to have Christian fellowship, but I would encourage you to do that, to get to really know one another. Not just say hello to one another on a Sunday morning, because we all know the right way to answer that, right? Like, "Hey, good morning, how you doing?" "I'm doing great," except for all the rest of the stuff that I'm not going to tell you about because I don't know you that well. And that's okay. I do understand. So, Pastor, you're being not realistic. We can't know everybody in this size group. And as God blesses ABC and other churches, as he continues to add to the church, the kingdom of God, it's hard for us to know every single one of us, right? And that's okay. But you're not supposed to be alone, right? And so get to know one another. Begin to get your group of friends and build those relationships so that you can share those things with one another. So that when somebody asks you how you're doing, you can say, actually, do you have a minute? Can we step over here so I can actually share with you what's going on so you can pray for me and I can pray for you? So they were breaking bread in their homes. They were receiving things together. They were praising God, having favor with all people. John Stott says the church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. So I'd made that quote about how Jesus had told Peter, I will build my church and Satan will not withstand it. You have to understand that this was always the way it was supposed to be. We can go all the way back to Genesis, matter of fact, where it says, it is not good for a man to be alone. And so that's why he made him a helper, a helpmate, his wife, right? And so, but also then when we talk about in Ephesians, that marriage with the husband and the wife and how that's supposed to be joined together, he's actually saying in that text, you can look it up in Ephesians, I'm actually speaking about Christ and his church. You see, even in the Godhead, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we get together, our witness is powerful. When we are unified behind the gospel, it is when revival happens. It is when lives are changed. The early church shared life together. We see that in the text of 42 through 47. They made the gospel visible to the surrounding world because of how different they were. That is how your light can shine. Inviting others in to see what the church is, what Christianity is, what faith looks like. Jesus told us that the world would know his disciples with their love for one another. He tells us that in John 13, 34 through 35. Purposeful involvement in the local church magnifies Christ to a watching world. Matthew 18, 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Philippians 1, 27 says, Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You see, not every single one of us can be a Billy Graham, and praise God for that, right? But we can all get behind a Billy Graham. We can all support a Billy Graham. And so the impact that you can have for the kingdom is magnified when you are part of an organization, of a group that is purposefully seeking to reach out to Christ. I mean, many of us, we feel bad, right? You don't have to raise your hand because I believe I'm normal. Okay, I know a lot of you think that pastors are just pod people, that they were just like born with a Bible in their hand, and so that's how they are, and stuff like that. But the news flash is that's not the case for anyone, and if ever a pastor ever tells you that, rebuke him. But the second thing is, I can guarantee you that of myself. I've lived a life beyond this, and so I'm thinking that I'm fairly normal, and I think that you probably feel the same way I do sometimes, is like, man, I should really be sharing my faith more, but I don't know how to do that, or I'm scared to do that, or I'm worried of what the ramifications might be. Well, okay. But as a part of a body of believers, we can also then not neglect that, but we also compensate for one another's strengths and weaknesses. Because maybe there are some among us that are more evangelistic. We can pray for them. Or maybe there's folks in this room that are called to full-time missions. We can support them financially. And so our impact is so much greater. If you don't believe that, you just need to watch Horton Hears a Who. Has anybody ever seen that movie? Great. If you haven't, you know, it's one of the wonderful stories of Dr. Seuss, whom I really love. In fact, I've told my kids perhaps I could be the next Dr. Groose. I don't know. I've toyed with the idea. Maybe when I retire, that's something I can pick up. But in that story, if you haven't ever heard about it, Horton is this elephant. He has a teeny little fluffy thing, and there's a bunch of little Whos that live on that. And so I often wonder if that's also where Grinch took place. And in my mind, I imagine that when it was up there on the mountain, the snow came, and then that's why the Grinch exists, because of the whole thing. Anyhow, I digress. But the fact of the movie or of the book is really that they needed to be all together yelling to Horton so that everyone else could hear what only Horton could. So you might ask, okay, well, you've convinced me that our witness is more powerful together, but why does gathering together actually matter so much? Well, when we gather together, we actually grow stronger together. Again, I don't know if you've ever been to a gym or a weight room or anything like that. You see, there's different size plates that they use. So they're usually circle, which has always been a little strange to me. I don't know why they're more square. It would keep them from rolling off of things, right? Don't you think that's a design flaw? Anyway, the circle plates that they have, they come in different sizes. They come in different weights, okay? And that's so that as you grow, as you mature, as you continue to do those exercises, you can add or even subtract. You can change the amount of weight so as to best match where you're at. You see, when we gather together, we stretch one another. Does anybody here have a perfect family? Just raise a hand. Oh, no? So you're in my club? Well, great. I'm glad you're here this morning because I don't have a perfect family either. There are people in my family, not my immediate family, kids, don't worry about that, but there are people in my family as a whole that sometimes are hard to love. And if I'm honest, I'm one of them, right? And so there's no such thing as a perfect family, but it's because of that that we grow stronger together sometimes. Here's Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 that says this, and let us consider how to stir one another up. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people that will tell me that they believe that these are the end times. And you know what? You're right, because here's the deal. Paul thought they were the end times then. We're farther along than Paul. So I can guarantee you that today is closer to the end than it was yesterday. And should the Lord tarry, guess what tomorrow will be? So in today's day and age, with all of the division, with all of the negativity, with the way that we see our culture, not only that, but the darkness that has always been here since after the fall, we need one another to grow stronger. Christian maturity happens in the context of stirring one another up. Because we're an imperfect family, we have to learn how to love one another. We have to learn how to confront one another lovingly. We have to learn how to keep one another accountable. We have to decide that the mission of the church is greater than my possible dislike of someone else. We have to remember that we are created in God's image and we are redeemed by the Son, and that there are different levels of maturity in this room, and that we need one another to continue to grow. If you are an immature Christian, if you would consider yourself to be an immature Christian, then you need a mature Christian to disciple you. If you would consider yourself to be a mature Christian, then you need an immature brother or sister in Christ to disciple so that you can grow in your ability to disciple and in your ability to apply that which you think you know. Neglecting fellowship weakens our faith, and gathering strengthens and protects it. It's just like anything else. The more you get together with someone, the more affinity you have for them, right? That's just natural. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you know about the person, the more you enjoy their company, hopefully. Encouragement in community strengthens our perseverance. When one of you goes through something hard, and if you haven't, you will, you recognize that you need other people to help bolster you, to help give you the encouragement that you need to just face the next day. We all need somebody who knows about us and who misses us. I know for some of you this is far and away beyond your years, but for those of you who remember the show Cheers, right? I'm always struck with how glad people were to see Norm, right? And it was very abnormal if he wasn't there. But do we feel the same way in the church, or is that just at the local pub? Are we looking for one another? Are we missing one another when we're not here? Is it abnormal, and do you reach out when your brother or sister isn't here? Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another." I have to have brothers in Christ to sharpen me, or I'm left to my own devices. And you know what happens to iron when it's left by itself? It rusts. And I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for you. Have you ever seen the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? You see, the trick to the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is when they go together. You know, this one might have a tiger, or this one might have a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I know I'm mixing, you know, some of you I'm really annoying because I'm mixing genre, but whatever. It's when all those robots come together to find, what is it, the Zord or something? I don't remember. I was a little too old for the Power Rangers, but some of you might remember. The fact of it is when they came together, they were able to defeat, I don't know, Zordon. Was he the good one? I don't know. Some of you are so upset right now, and it's hilarious. So growth isn't just about showing up, though, right? It's about more than that. It's about showing up with a purpose. Paul reminds us that the church is a body, that every single member has a role to play when we gather together, which brings me to the next part, that we are gifted to serve together. I hope not. It might be the case in a room this size that you might be tempted to think that nobody would really miss your absence if you weren't here. That's not true. Every single one of us, by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, has a purpose to play in a part of the body. Every single one of you. And I realize that that may seem like a hollow cliche because I'm speaking to the masses. I also realize that, you know, it might sound like one of these, you know, kind of tropes about, like, you know, everybody is special in their own way. Like, okay. But according to God's word, that is what it says. It says that every single member of the body matters. I'm going to give you some numbers. See if I can find them. You could get 50 to 160,000 for a kidney. Don't ask me how I know. You can ask me. I just Googled it. It's okay. Relax. So I don't know if these are accurate, but why not? Sure, let's go with it. You could get 150 to 300,000 for a lung. You could get anywhere from 200 to 600,000 for a liver. Who would like to donate their liver? Would you? I can tell you this, life will be very short for you to do that. See, here's the thing. You've got two kidneys. I suppose you could get along without one of those. You've got two lungs. You could probably get along without one of those, except for you wouldn't want to be a long-distance runner or swimmer, probably. But without a liver, your life would be quite short. And so I wondered what it would be like, how much would it be to donate, you know, a pinky toe, or a big toe, or a pinky finger, or a pointer finger? And I don't know, they don't have those statistics, because who wants to buy that, right? But then I sat in my office and I started thinking about this and I thought, I wonder how much my life would change if I didn't have one of my digits. Well, I don't do it often. I do play guitar some. I enjoy playing guitar. And I thought, man, it would be, depending on which hand, it would be much more difficult to play. Now, you're going to see this in Judges. One of the ways that they punished people back in the day was they would cut the king's thumbs off. This is how they would basically show that they had been conquered. They would cut the king's thumbs off. Now, we don't think of our fingers as all that important, obviously. We tend to put more weight on things like, man, I would really miss my liver, or I suppose half of my liver. But here's the deal. How bad would you miss a thumb? And there's no price tag to that. So, brother or sister, here's what I'm saying. You may think of yourself as just a thumb, but you matter. Our lives would be drastically, drastically different without each and every body part. Here's what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. There's quite a bit. I will read. You can follow. They will click along up there. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would it be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in a body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Take that to heart, all of you pinkies out here. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And so you see here that Scripture tells us that what may sound like a cultural trope, that you are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You do bring something to the table that nobody else does. You do have a gift and a purpose and a place within the body that no one else can fulfill. Do not allow the world or Satan or even our own self-conscious to lie to you and to tell you anything otherwise. You matter, and I want you here because without you, I'm weaker. And I want you here because without you, the person sitting next to you is weaker. And I do not want weak Christians. I want us to be strong in the Lord. I want for us to be bold in our witness. I want for us to be encouraging and strengthening one another and bolstering one another up, and all the more as the day of the end draws near. Because I don't know about you, but I need that. So, of course, none of this works if we're not connected to the source. It's one thing to just be part of a church, right? But we have to be part of the church. The church isn't just a social club. It's not just this building or a place where we meet. The church is the bride of Christ. So I'm going to end how I started. Yes?
Since your sermon is about bringing us together.
Yeah.
I'm wondering at the end if you could make a note in the prayer
about the church. Yeah, I will. Thank you, sister. We are created for community. I kind of started with this, and I want to end with it. You see, here's an important thing to remember. Each and every one of us is created for community. But there's a greater community than just Allegan Bible Church. There's a community that you're called to, a community that you're desired for. There's a community that the very Son of God died to bring you into. This is what Scripture says. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So this is an interesting time of year. I love it. Fall, where the weather gets crisp, like the smells change. I don't know if you notice that. I really enjoy fall. I enjoy all four seasons that we get here in Michigan. I think that's one of the blessings that we have here in Michigan. But in the fall, there's some things that we notice. We notice what seems to be death, right? The leaves change. They begin to get brown eventually, and they fall to the ground, and then we all have so much fun picking those up, right? But it's okay because we realize that, okay, this is the time of year, there's hope for the spring. Well, if in the middle of summer you were to take one of those branches with the nice green shoots and you were to cut it off and it were to lay on the ground, it would not be long before you would notice a change. You would see that the bright green leaves that are on that branch begin to fold inward on themselves. The color begins to change. They too, even in the middle of the summer, would begin to turn a brown. And eventually, they too would dry up, and they would fall off, and it would just be a bare branch being left there. You see, as much as I would love for you to become a permanent part of Allegan Bible Church, whether that means membership or just continuing to attend matters not to me. What must be the case is that you become a son or daughter of the living God. So I want to ask you, have you been born again? Do you know what that means? Are you saved? Are you sure of your salvation? Because if you're not, brother or sister, friend, do not leave today without coming to terms with your need for a Savior. He tells us in the text that without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are a branch that has been lopped off, that is withering and fading, and one day is good for nothing other than being put in the pile to be burned. But with Christ, He can graft you in. With Christ, you can be made new. With Christ, there can be new life. If you are grafted in, the sap will flow. If you are grafted in, the life will come. If you are grafted in, you need not worry about being lopped off because He is the tree of life and His sap ever, ever flows. You see, believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. We are compared to sheep. And that means we both need a flock as well as a shepherd. And so do you know the shepherd? His very nature is relational. And He died to bring you into that relationship. So I'm going to close with this. If you do know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, truly, then I pray, it is my desire that you would recognize not only the need for being part of a local body of believers, but that He would give you the gift of that desire if you don't currently have it. That you would see that being part of a local body of believers is for your good and for His glory, and that was always how you were designed to be. And so again, whether that's ABC or not does not matter to me. I'm not trying to build my membership roles here. I want for your success in your walk with Christ. I want for you to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want for you to use the gifts that God has given you in ways that only He and you can work out. And so I would beg you, firstly, if you don't know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, be grafted in today. And secondly, if you are looking for a church home, if somebody invited you here and you're trying this out, then become a part of it. Be grafted in. Because Jesus came to bring life and life to the fullness. Some people say I can be a Christian without the church. And that's like saying I can survive without food. You probably can for a little while. But then eventually you'll become weak, sickly, and eventually you'll just fade away. So here's how I hope we can apply this. If you are a regular attender, don't just attend. Plug in, serve, pray, fellowship. Don't settle for just coming. Secondly, connect. Identify your spiritual gifts. there's tests out there and stuff you can take, but here's an even better way to do it. Just start serving somewhere. Or even better yet, how about you pray and ask God to show you where you should serve, and then when miraculously an opportunity of service falls in your lap, don't say, well, that's not what I was praying for. Just serve. Because maybe, just maybe, God answered your prayer. And it might not always be the way you might wanted that to be, but maybe that's what God's calling you to do. And maybe it's just to see if you're actually mean what you're praying. And then he'll bring something else to you that maybe you like more. Sometimes 50% of life, right, is just showing up. Are we doing that? And then lastly, continue. What I mean by that is stay connected, both to Christ and to his church for long-term faithfulness. There is no such thing as a perfect church, just like there's no such thing as a perfect family. Some folks in this church family may rub you the wrong way, but that's okay. You can show them the love of Christ. I'm going to end in a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I do pray that you would help us to be unified. God, I would ask that, especially with everything that's going on with our nation too, that you would keep those of us centered on Christ and his kingdom. We pray for Charlie and his family, but we also pray for the message that he gave about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, about your scripture being the truth. God, we lift this up to you and we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and bring us to unity and service. It's in your name we pray.